Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Your Honor. The next matter before you is People of the State of New York versus Christopher Gregoric, file number 01682 of 2017. Mike Smith and Christopher McCarthy for the People. Defendant is present along with his attorney, Ms. Jessica Culpit. Your Honor, we are here today for the purposes of sentencing. As Your Honor will recall, Mr. Gregoric previously pled guilty to the charge of manslaughter in the second degree for an unfortunate and tragic but preventable tragedy that occurred last June on the 90 in the town of Lancaster. Your Honor, I would also note that family is present of Ellen Volpe, the victim in this matter. Husband Johnny McIntyre wishes to address the court at the appropriate time to give a brief statement. Your Honor, we have gone through the pre-sentence investigation report. I'm aware of it. It's factually accurate, and we are ready to proceed with the sentencing phase.
Thank you, Mr. McCarthy. Good morning, Ms. Culpit.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Have you had a chance to review the pre-sentence report?
Yes, Your Honor. We find no errors or need for additions other than my client's address has changed. I included that in my submission so the court is aware.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to say before sentence?
Yes, Your Honor. And I would ask if my client is allowed to give his statement before I finish up.
Of course.
Thank you, Judge. He's prepared to speak at this time if it's appropriate now.
Mr. Gregoric.
Writing this statement was rather difficult. I had trouble finding the words to start because of the emotions I feel and the emotions I know the victims feel about their loss. I'm aware of the victim's family, coworkers, and the many people that Ellen was important to, especially her children. I can't imagine what they're feeling and going through, but if it is anything like what my family has felt and spoken of, then I'm at least aware of the shadow of grief and pain that this terrible event has cast on everyone involved. The very first statement I read was from Ellen's husband, John McIntyre. His was the statement I was most afraid to read, one of the statements that took me the longest as well, since I had to stop and clear my eyes of tears often while I was reading it. I learned that the most prestigious title in the long list of accomplishments Ellen had was that of mother to two young children. Because of my decisions on June 8th, she had far, far too little time with them. I don't think I can express the pain that fact brings to me, but I, like Ellen, dreamed of parenthood for so long that I am pierced to the core by being the person responsible for cutting that dream so short. I can't imagine what her children are going through, but I've seen a shadow of it in my own son's face. His mother and I had to sit down and explain that I may have to leave, and for longer than he thought. I've never felt him hug me so tightly or seen such a look of pain on his face. No parent can be thankful to see pain in our children, but seeing it in my son did give me perspective. The perspective that, unlike me, Ellen will not someday come home to her children. On June 8th, Ellen Volpe died. On June 9th, while riding home to the other side of the state, I learned more about who I killed. When I was driving that day, I didn't think anyone was going to get hurt. I thought I had complete control over what was happening. I thought I could do my job as a provider and still might do my job as a father and take care of my son. I was blind to all the other lives around me and put them at risk. I was so focused on making my son happy and connecting with him that I wasn't focused on those around me with sons and daughters of their own. For someone to die so senselessly offended everything I believe in. So on June 9th, while riding with a coworker and trying to understand what had happened the day before, I decided I couldn't let Ellen be forgotten. I searched her name and found immediately she would never be forgotten by her community. That was also when I began to realize how much damage I had done. I learned of her children, her coworkers, and the service that she did every day. So when I read the victim impact statements, I wasn't surprised to understand the volume of people affected by this event. Seeing how Ellen had been such a positive force for so many people, I decided right then and there after her death that I never wanted this kind of thing to happen again. I know I will never again be so careless. But every day since June 8th, I've become extremely aware of the drivers around me. I see so many people who are distracted by phones or radios or people in the car with them, and I see that no one is doing better than I did. I have to remind myself that these people don't know what happened to Ellen and I, and it has left me determined to share my experience with other people. So many people have told me since the accident and returning home that I should speak publicly about the impact such a mindless decision has on the people around us. I've had victim impact statements, my therapist, my friends and family, all tell me I should speak out at high schools and other such places, and every time these suggestions have solidified my resolution to do just that. While I cannot change the events of that day, I wish from the bottom of my heart that I could go back and stop the death of Ellen Volpe from happening. Because I cannot change the past, I am determined to change the future. Regardless of the court's decision today, I will seek out ways to share with the world the result of my mistake and the pain that Ellen's death has caused. Beyond this resolve, I can only accept the decision of the court as to what justice will best serve the people and hope mercy for my family's sake.
Thank you. Ms.
Colby. Your Honor, he cannot change the past, but he can change the future. The loss in this courtroom is too great to put into words. I don't want to minimize it, and by our statements here today asking for a non-incarcerative sentence, we hope the Volpe family does not feel as though we aren't caring or sharing in that loss. My client has expressed it best. From the moment this case has happened, he has shared concern for her family as well as his own. By reading through the victim impact statement, the Volpe family is remarkable. They have done the same. The court has the opportunity to assist in that change. While I appreciate the importance of deterrence, can't we establish deterrence by making sure the message is heard? We live in a world of immediacy. Now, have it now. To the point, there are billboards on the thruway to say, put down your phone. It has gotten to that point. We've made it 5 points in New York State to use your phone. And today in the courtroom, every single person is feeling that. It's something that many of us do, Your Honor, the people, even the media here today. We handle cases on a regular basis. This is different. My client didn't ingest drugs. He didn't consume alcohol. He got up at 4:30 in the morning and went to work. He cares financially, emotionally for a child that wasn't his biological, but has certainly been his own. He's now a father. We have to compare that to the loss of a huge, bright, wonderful woman. We're not minimizing that, and a non-incarcerative sentence doesn't do that. But if deterrence is what we're looking for, his message is more powerful than sitting in state prison. I would ask, Your Honor, I know you've spent a long time with all of the submissions here. I've been practicing in your courtroom for 10 years. I know you've read each and every letter, so my statements will be brief. I am asking for a period of probation. The probation department has even gone as far to recommend a split, which is not possible in this case. In my opinion, it's a fault of the legislature that the court only has the opportunity to have probation or state prison. State prison isn't going to bring anybody back. State prison isn't going to change a high schooler, an adult, another mother or father from picking up their phone. Listening to the sincerity we heard today from Christopher Gregoric, listening to him for the last year that I've been representing, might. We know how powerful the impact of another person's words are. That's why in DWIs, we make all of our clients go to the victim impact statements, because that's proven successful. We know that deterrence through incarceration doesn't have that success rate. I am asking this court to honor the memories of Ms. Volpe and allow my client to remain on probation. Set the conditions strict. Allow him to work and support so his family doesn't have to go to social services. They had to move out of their home and into his parents' home because Christopher is the main support. His job has kept him. He is not on the road. He's not driving for this company, but he is that good of an employee. And Your Honor, I think through his words and everything the court has, shows he's a good person who made a terrible decision. A decision that too many people make on a regular basis. I'd ask Your Honor to sentence my client to a period of probation.
Your Honor, obviously, as we stated, that Mr. McIntyre wishes to address the court on his wife's behalf.
It would be fine.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Good morning. Ellen Volpe lived life to the full. She was all in, whether it be at her work, with her family of origin, or at the different activities, including the sports she engaged in. But there was a dream my wife, Ellen Volpe, always had about being a mother. And when her life ended on June 8th, we were blessed to have two sons. My son, John Michael, was 3.5 years old. And my son, Paul James, was 2 years old. They are happy boys and well cared for, and they miss their mother. I think about my wife, Ellen Volpe, every day, all day. She was certainly the rock in our lives. And I think about and feel sadness that she has not an opportunity to share those important moments with our sons, whether it be the first day of school, whether it be their first sports game, their birthdays, Christmas, and on and on. All those milestones and events have new meaning to us now when we celebrate, but feel immense sadness. I wish and will keep alive the memory of my wife, Ellen Volpe. I believe it important for Mr. Gregoric to have an opportunity to think about that at length and be incarcerated. But mostly I want my wife's memory alive. And I miss her and love her dearly. Thank you. Thank you.
Your Honor, obviously no words can describe this preventable tragedy. The children lost their mother, husband lost his wife, family lost a sister and a sibling. Therefore, we are asking for a jail sentence to be imposed at this juncture and based on the wishes of the family, and we're ready to proceed.
I have read the pre-sentence report and all the letters received from each side in this horrible and sad case. I found the statements to be eloquent, generous of spirit, contrite, and very painful. Everyone is conflicted here, and everyone wants and needs to heal. Part of my duty is to bring clarity to a situation. Letters call Ellen Volpe a healer, and other letters call Christopher Gregoric a good man with a young family who made a terrible mistake. But there's also a deep and legitimate feeling of anger here, of being cheated, of losing a spouse and a mother. Like it or not, fair or not, you're the latest symbol of distracted driving. Suggestions were made that you speak to schools and young people about the dangers of it, and how it so drastically can damage many lives, including yours. But that's not for today. The court does not believe you're a danger to society. But I must fashion a sentence that fits the crime here, taking into account your inexcusable and reckless actions, your background, and that an innocent life was taken here. The sentence of the court is an indeterminate sentence of imprisonment with a minimum term of 1.5 years and a maximum term of 4.5 years. It's a $25 surcharge, it's a $50 DNA fee, and the crime victim's fee, which must be paid. You have 30 days to appeal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.